Thanks for tuning into our podcast. I'm Dr. John Roebuck. I'm your host this afternoon as we spend a little time talking about leadership and what it is to be a part of the church and how all that works. Our guest today is Reverend Tom Golston. Tom is the pastor, Brook Hollow Baptist Church here in Nashville, Tennessee. Tom, as always, it is good to be with you. Tom and I have been friends now for close to 15 years, I guess. We were together in a ministerial group that Dr. Bob Bird at Belmont University kind of put together, and a lot of us grew in that, and that was a good, safe place to talk church and politics and family and everything else. So, Tom, we welcome you. Tom, as I said in the intro, has been pastor at Brook Hollow Baptist Church here in Nashville for the last 14 years. Before that, was pastor First Baptist Dunlap, Tennessee for 8 years. And before that was at Zion Baptist Church in North Vernon, Indiana for a couple of years. And I assume that was probably seminary pastor.
It was. Good times. They put up with a lot of bad preaching during that time. And I learned a lot in those 2 years.
Tom is a graduate here at Belmont University in 91, went on to Southern Baptist Theological Seminary, graduated in 1994, is married to Tracy, and they have two kids that are pretty old now, both in college.
That's right. They're rising juniors at Samford University in Birmingham. They love it.
So Tom is going through that life, and obviously if he's got two kids at Samford, is a poor man and will be for life. So anyway, so we welcome poor Tom Golston today.
Right.
So I want to depart a little bit. Some of these leadership interviews, we talk about different leadership qualities and characteristics, but I thought it would be nice for those who listen to just kind of hear a little bit from a pastor's heart about what makes him tick and what he enjoys about ministry and what's difficult about that. And also today want to explore something that their church has been involved in for 47 years, and we'll get to that in a few minutes. But, Tom, I noticed on your website that you first felt a call to ministry. You were working with students at a children's home in Illinois, where you're mm-hmm. from. Tell me a little bit about that call, how that came about, and what you experienced in that.
Yeah, it was really, really neat time in my life. This was the mid-1980s. I was working full-time with my father, had gone to a community college right out of high school, and then really didn't know what I wanted to be when I grew up, but had a good opportunity with my father in the family business, so I was working with him.
And your family, churchgoers, heavily involved in church growing up,
yes.
So you had that foundation as well.
Sunday morning, Sunday night, we were always there.
Yeah.
And it was on a Sunday night that really began this call to ministry. Having grown up in a small town with Illinois Baptist Children's Home children in the public school system and then in my home church, I was always around them. In the mid-80s, the campus there in Carmi, Illinois, built what we would call a family life center. Built a gym and weight room and indoor track, all those things. And after church on a Sunday night, one of the house parents in one of the boys' cottages asked me, he said, "You're not doing anything on Monday nights, are you?" And I said, "No." And he said, "Won't you come out and play basketball with my boys at the new Family Life Center?" That quickly became from a one night a week to every free moment I had, I was out there hanging out with those kids.
Just building relationships and kind of investing your life in theirs. And
so we played basketball. We played any kind of game, board games. I went on trips with the cottages, just various places, day trips. And the executive director, Doug DeVore, good friend, he's now retired, but he asked me to come on staff part-time during the summer, leading Bible studies, organizing trips, and mostly on Saturdays and Sundays, and then during the evening time. And so I jumped in with both feet, and one day he told me, we're having just a meeting, and he said, "You're doing good work in this ministry." And I said, "Ministry, what are you talking about?" And he said, "You're doing ministry." So I had this call to ministry in a very grassroots setting where I didn't even know it was ministry.
So as you had the opportunity to sort of exercise those ministry muscles, suddenly you began to think, maybe God is in this, right?
Absolutely. And when I found myself really wanting to hang out with the kids and do what I wasn't calling ministry to do ministry, as opposed to my day job.
Yep.
That's whenever I began to search and pray and talk to other mentors in my life who were already seeing what I was doing, and they were confirming
sure.
what God was calling me to do.
So you came to Belmont then with a sense of ministry and then direction, and then obviously went to Southern Seminary, and at some point picked up that sense of call to pastor, because mm-hmm. you've been doing that for a number of years. So tell me, how has your sense of calling, has it changed any way, stronger? Has it been redirected through the years? What would you say about that?
Yeah, I would say it was redirected. When I came to Belmont, the last thing in the world I really wanted to do or to be was a pastor. You know, I had still bought into that stereotype of what a pastor had to be, and I didn't want to be that or do that. And then during the seminary years, saw that my stereotype of a pastor was not totally accurate, and so then. During my time at Zion, then found enjoyment in preaching and all that goes with being a pastor
yeah.
of a church. And to be honest, there's still that that wrestling with redirection today. And it would be real easy for me to remain a pastor for the next 10, 15,
sure.
20 years. And I'm cool with that.
Yeah.
But as God redirected me to Belmont, then to seminary, and the calling tweaking just a little bit, I think that it's healthy for me spiritually to not shut the door on where God would lead me.
You know, a mutual friend of ours, Bill Wilson, told me once that, and I don't remember who he was quoting, but he said the first 50 years are all, you know, preparation for what God really wants you to do. And so I really applaud that, and I'm grateful for your willingness to say to the Lord, God, if you want me to pastor and preach, you know, till second coming, that's great. But also to continually be open to saying, but God, whatever you would direct me to do. So talk about your ministry for a minute. What is the greatest passion you have about what you do as a pastor at Brook Hollow? What do you just get up in the morning just really amped about doing?
Well, for me, it's the individual connection with the people in the church, and there's a sense of maybe pastors, they're really in the zone behind the pulpit on a Sunday morning, and I enjoy that, but I think what really gets me most excited is that one-on-one relationship with young people and senior adults, and just helping them all, from children to final years of your life, to grow in your knowledge and service of the Lord.
So, you know, ministry is not easy. I lived that life for a long time as well, as you know. So what are the difficult aspects for you? Maybe they're difficult people. We all deal with that. Or maybe they're just something, there's something about the machinery of ministry that you have to keep feeding every day. That becomes a little arduous. So, what are the little places where it could be better, right?
Well, having just come off a week of being on mission, where I was the pastor of our group, but was being fed by the people in the community where we were serving, that's refreshing. And several years ago, a music minister who was new to the ministry, about a month after he came on board, shared. You know, we're working all the time. And he said, I was used to coming and being filled and fed during worship.
Right.
And now I'm giving all during worship, and I'm distracted by the fine details of worship. And I shared with him that of we have to be intentional and deliberate about having our own moment of worship and connection with God, that we may not always be getting on Sunday morning,
where do you find that purchase? So how do you worship? How do you recharge the batteries every week?
Well, it's daily devotion, daily scripture reading and prayer, and I can tell a difference on those days that I've skipped that, and those days that I've carved out time, and I'm, you know, it's just about me and the Lord for a while. I think it's important that a minister bless other people. And so whenever I leave, whether it's a child or a senior adult, with those simple words of God bless you. And I benefit from hearing someone else come to my office and when they leave and telling me those same words. So I'm no different than the people who sit in the pews on Sunday morning. I need the affirmation and blessing of God in the same way.
Yeah, I get that. You know, I recently went through a surgery. I had to have my knees replaced, and a good friend of mine was praying with me before that surgery. And he said in his prayer, he prayed and said that he was grateful for all the other people who were praying for me that day.
Yep.
And I think that was such an important thing for me to hear, and I know it's for you. I mean, people will say that to their pastor from time to time, hey, I'm praying for you. Mm-hmm. And I hope they realize how vitally important that is. We
That's
need
right.
that. We need that constant sense of support. So let's talk a little bit. You mentioned a minute ago that you just gotten back from a missions experience. So Brook Hollow Baptist Church has been doing missions in Appalachia in eastern Kentucky since 1970,
right.
So 47 years.
Right.
So describe a little bit about the kind of work you do there, and then we'll talk a little bit about why have you chosen to invest there and what has that meant?
It's a wonderful ministry, and like you said, almost 50 years that we've been invested in eastern Kentucky, and I wish I could take partial credit for it, but I'm just along for the ride.
You're still a new kid. You've only been there 14
right.
years, so
that's right.
you missed the first 33 years of that.
So it started with the pastor at Brook Hollow during that time.
Whose name will not come to mind today.
John Daly.
John Daly.
And he was from eastern Kentucky. And so he knew someone who needed this ministry to continue up there. And he found some people at Brook Hollow who went up there the first year. It was Gary Anderson, Belmont graduate, and former retired pastor here in Tennessee now. He was a part of the first group that went up, and then after that, it was fell into the safe hands of David and Mary Lou Smith. David has gone on to be with the Lord. Mary Lou has relocated to Atlanta. But now it has fallen into to trusting hands in current Brook Hollow membership.
So the Smiths carried that ministry. I mean, that was just kind of their passion, what they
very,
invested.
Very much so. And they would be quick to tell you, you know, it wasn't about them. They didn't start it. Someone else did. They were just enabling it to go on.
So describe the kind of work that you guys do when you go up there.
It's basically Vacation Bible School. And we go to, this year we went to two small churches out in the country, and were not able to provide a Vacation Bible School for themselves. And so we come in, a whole lot of youth, some adults, and we play games, we sing songs, we teach the Bible lesson. But more important as all those things are, presenting the gospel, obviously.
Sure.
Fun and games and snack, all are important. But we've maintained these relationships for the last 47 years. And there were adults that were showing up every day asking about David and Mary Lou.
Sure.
I came when I was a little boy, they would say. My mom brought me, you know, have fond memories of your church coming up here and doing these Bible schools.
So a remarkable thing, I think. I think most churches kind of pat themselves on the back if they think, "Hey, we've done something for 5 years in a row," you know. But to do something that long, so the group that goes up is a mix of teenagers, adults, a little bit of everything.
I think in the beginning it was started as a youth leadership trip, basically, and entrusting the young people with you come up with the games, you play the games, you come up with the music. You teach it to the kids. Here's the Bible lesson. You learn how to teach it to the kids.
Yep.
And there's still a sense of that still going on today.
But
more than all those things, John, I think it's the relationships that we've continued. And there's prayer for those families throughout the course of the year. There's providing resources for some of the families that have.
So it's much more than a one and done. Go up there for a week, we do our thing, and we feel good about it. It's a continued relationship, financial support at times, prayer support all the time, that kind of thing.
That's right. Anything and everything over the course of a year. We also go up at Christmas, a Saturday or two before Christmas.
Gotcha.
We take a whole lot of gifts.
Yeah. So, again, we're talking with Tom Gulston at Brook Hollow Baptist Church. Tom, also, I know your church was involved in trying to meet the need of some homeless folks here in Nashville, and that was spun off into the idea that maybe we could build some micro houses, mm-hmm. and had a partnership established. Talk a little bit about how that came into being, and then talk about where it sort of got off the rails for you guys.
Yeah, it was a really good idea on paper and in theory. It started off wonderfully. We partnered with a church from Virginia and to build three tiny homes in the summer of 2016. A local nonprofit was in the works of creating a tiny home, tiny house community here in Nashville, and we were going to build the first three tiny homes for that community. And so we had all the lumber, had the plans, and was about 3 weeks into the building of those tiny homes on our parking lot at Brook Hollow. And the community plans fell through. Mm-hmm. And so very early on, while they were still nothing but a frame, their destination was taken from us. It just kind of fell through. At fault of no one, it just wasn't going to come about. So we were left holding three tiny houses that were being built for homeless individuals.
And these were families. Being built, I might just add, in your church parking lot.
That's right.
So
that's
I'm sure right. The church family and the neighbors, everybody's really excited about all that.
They were. On one hand, they're very excited about where they're going, what's going to happen. The neighbors were great after they found out they were not going to remain on our particular
sure.
parking lot. There's one that remains there, and still a lot of inquiry and curiosity about what are we going to do with that tiny home.
So here you had a great vision that just for a number of different reasons out of your control mm-hmm. didn't come about. So what are the lessons that you glean from that, and how does that affect your ability as a pastor the next time you go to church and say, hey, I want to do something really new and innovative? Do you think that will be something that will be thrown up at you, or how does that play out?
Well, that's a really good question, and there'll be half a dozen people who will remind everyone involved about the well-laid plans and how it didn't actually come about, and then there'll be a half a dozen people who will say, "Let's go for it." You know,
yeah.
That project is in the past, but we need to go, full speed ahead in attempting new and other ministries that that help other people. But we learned a lot, and we learned the importance of planning and preparing for things that
sure
that just kind of come out of left field. But also not being discouraged, and know that in every ministry and business and family, there are a lot of things that you can't control, and then there are a lot of things that you can't
yep.
control.
Well, I think it's just a valuable. The reason I even bring it up is it'd been one thing to say, hey, here was this great success, and we got people living in these homes, but to say, hey, sometimes the best laid plans don't always come to fruition, and when they don't, you just have to. Try to see what lessons you can glean from that, but you move forward. Mm-hmm. And you can't see it as a final defeat that says, hey, we can't ever do missions anymore, but
right.
just means the next time we're going to think a different way about a different thing, perhaps. I don't know, something like that.
Well, ministry is not as easy as people think, and serving other people is not as easy as you think. And when you attempt something big, there are more opportunities for failure and
yep.
and disappointment. And the folks at our church have been wonderful through it all and supportive. And we're all looking forward to the day that our final tiny house will
move on along.
Move on along, but more importantly, be used by someone that it was intended
yeah.
for.
You know, because I tend to think moments like that perhaps are these huge God commas, right? Mm-hmm. And that whoever is supposed to live in that house, those situations weren't in place, and one day it will be, mm-hmm. and, you know, we'll see in hindsight. We've got just a couple of seconds left. Just one quick question for you. In terms of life and ministry, you got a favorite Bible passage or Bible verse? You know, some people say you got to have a life verse, and maybe you do and maybe you don't, but where do you draw strength? You got a passage that's a favorite for you?
Yeah, I'm always going to default to Psalm 46:1.
Okay.
God is our refuge and our strength, an ever-present, a very present help in times of trouble. And times of trouble are just an hour away or a second away. But I'm always comforted knowing that I can walk with God through mm-hmm. Jesus Christ. I can run to a safe harbor, a fortress, and know that I am safe in the presence of God. Does that mean that bad things aren't going to happen to me? Bad things are going to happen to me, and I recognize that. But I'm also encouraged that God has promised never to abandon me, never
sure.
leave me, never forsake me. And so there's a sense of when I feel all alone, forgotten, I'm going to have a pity party.
Yep.
And I can have one like anybody else, that God's right there with me.
Yeah, I heard Mike Glenn say recently that we are either walking into a storm, we're living in a storm, or we're just walking out of the storm. And I think what you said was so significant to say that wherever you find yourself, that God is your refuge and strength and is with you in the midst of all of that. So tell us your church website is?
www.brookholler.net.
I'd encourage you to visit that. You can, if you want to hear Tom preach, his sermons are put there in audio form, and you can listen to Tom pontificate about all kinds of things.
If you're having trouble sleeping at night, just click. You'll wake up well-rested in the morning.
Tom, it's been good to have you with us. Thank you for being here today on our Conversation That Matters podcast. Again, Tom Golston, Brook Hollow Baptist Church. Tom, thanks for being with us.
Thanks, John.